The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Hi, welcome along once again to the official Korean FC podcast. As we say every week, I think it seems to be we're another week closer to the end of the season, and as yet we still really don't know what lies in store. There are a number of different permutations as to what can happen for Korean, but we'll talk about that in due course, because I'm delighted to say this evening, Johnny, I think you must have pulled a few strings. And did you do the negotiations? I don't know what the fee was, but I think you managed to get a very special guest for the podcast this week.
Yeah, I had to speak to Patrick Kelly's agent there. And so Patrick is wearing a nice cap there and a new hoodie. So that must be the fee for coming on. So, you know, I had to pull a fly on there to get him on. So, good to see him.
Who do you think is his agent? Is it Declan Rice or is it Mark Noble? Which one of them is it, do you think?
Well, he just told us off recording there that he's planning to play golf with either of them or both of them. So, who are we, Damien? You know, like, PK's looking at us. He's these two idiots, you know what I mean? So, listen. PK deserve all the plaudits.
Well, I think we've talked about him, but we better introduce him properly. PK, Patrick Kelly, welcome back to the podcast. The last time you were on probably was near enough a year ago, and I think at that stage you were just getting ready for your move to West Ham, etc. But Patrick, first of all, congratulations for Tuesday. And I mean, can you just tell us what this week has been like for you?
Thanks for having me on. It's been mental. Like, just the whole build up to it was crazy. Then obviously going to the Emirates for the game and stuff, it was a bit surreal walking around the stadium, and then obviously the crowd, because I thought I was nervous for the cup final last year with Korean, but this was like a whole new level. Like, there was just so many people there, and like the West Ham fans were like chanting whenever we were coming out. It was like goosebumps. But the last few days have been unreal. I think it's only really sunk in today when I only came back to digs like today after training. So I think when I was in my room earlier, it just all like settled in a bit. But yeah, no, it's been a good few days.
I suppose at the outset, we'd better explain for maybe anybody that's been living under a rock this week, what we're actually referring to. West Ham United's success in the FA Youth Cup final, coming from one behind to beat Arsenal on their own ground at the Emirates 5-1. And reading and watching everything subsequently to that, the praise that the West Ham players, the team, and yourself has got has been incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's been good, because obviously I think the last team that won it was 28 years ago or something like that. And I read a thing earlier that there were two centre mids the last time they won it were Frank Lampard and Michael Carrick, and then obviously the Joe Cole up front and stuff. So they were just, I didn't realise when I joined here how big the FA Cup was. Obviously I'd heard of it because I watched the final with my dad last year, the one Man United beat Forest, because I had two mates from Forest playing, and there was like, I think there was like 50,000-60,000 at Old Trafford. So I knew it was quite big, but I didn't realise, like, because last year the boys went out in the first round. So they did really well on it this year, and they knew we had a good team and stuff. So it's a massive tournament. Like, I didn't actually realize how big it was, but yeah.
Yeah, excuse me. I mean, Johnny, I don't know. I think maybe you watched it. It was at the Emirates, as I say. I think it was a crowd in the region of 34,000, and I think it was something like 7,000 West Ham fans there, which created an absolutely incredible atmosphere for a Youth Cup final.
I know, the atmosphere was amazing. I've seen a few clips and I watched bits of it, but the stream was absolutely minging. I don't know if anyone else did that, you, Patrick, but it wasn't the best. So, but yeah, no, look, anyone that I've read during it and after it, it's been really good. And I think Patrick got an 8 in one of the papers there, and there's a few lines about him and stuff like that. So, okay, look, and I think that as well. I think, you know, not just Patrick, there's a couple of other young lads from Northern Ireland in the team too. So, naturally you want them all to do well, and I think a couple of them scored. So don't know what Paddock, I don't know what Paddock was doing there, but the other two scored. But no, listen, I think when you see all the reaction and stuff and the plaudits that Paddock's getting, and I seen Mark Noble was there and Declan Rice come into the change room and all. So look, Declan Rice captain the West Ham, hundreds and hundreds of Premier League games played at a World Cup and stuff like that. So that's probably the target of where them boys want to go. So they win a trophy like that and then come in and see him. It must be a bit surreal.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you mentioned Mark Noble, and I remember PK, whenever you first went over to West Ham, there were photographs of you and Mark Noble at that time, and then the fact that he was there at the FA Youth Cup final as well. I mean, the likes of Mark Noble and Declan Rice are like regarded as really as the hammers, legends of the club. I mean, what kind of things did they say? Did they say anything before the game, or what did they say after the game to you?
Well, for like starting with a semi-final 2 weeks ago at the London Stadium, like Dec was in the changing room before the game. Moisey had on the team talk before the semi-final. He came in and said a few words, and then obviously Nobes is great. Like, he's at the training ground. Like, even though he's retired, he would train with us like at least once a week, and he loves me, to be fair. Like, he's always speaking and chatting away to me and talking about golf, football, everyone. So nah, he's very good to me. And they both said a bit before, but it was more they were speaking after. And obviously whenever I came off the pitch, Declan Rice gave me a big hug and stuff and said I was his man of the match. So that was a good feeling. And then whenever we were all getting photos with him after the game, he said it again. So it was a bit surreal. Like, but no, it was, them two are both great and they do a lot. I think all the players look up to them. Obviously, as Johnny said, that's where we're all aspiring to be. So, yeah.
I mean, that's quite something that Declan Rice said that to you on a number of occasions, because, you know, your team won 5-1. There was a number of different goal scorers, and one of the goals was scored was a real, real cracker goal. It has been much shown on social media. So for somebody like Declan Rice to single you out that didn't score, but yet you were his man of the match, that must mean an awful lot.
Yeah, no, I did. I think it's just because obviously I kind of play the same position that he would play for the first team. So I think he was just kind of, because obviously maybe he's had similar situations where maybe he hasn't scored and stuff, but he still played quite well. But yeah, no, it was good to hear that come from him. Like, because if there's anyone you want advice to or listen to, it'd probably be him. So,
and is he the type of player, is his position and his role in midfield, is that now the type of player that you want to become? Yeah. Is that who you would model your game on?
Yeah, I think whenever I signed here, and then obviously at the end of last season, I was playing. But Oren used me in a couple of different positions, like. There was stages last season I played centre mid with Stevie Lowry, but then there was towards the end of the season I was playing more like off the left wing, more attacking. But since I came here, they just said they see me more as like a centre mid, like box to box 8, which I think that's my favourite position, to be fair. I was more like a 10 growing up, like attacker, but I think since I came here I prefer playing a bit deeper. You just get a lot more of the ball, just try and dictate the game a bit. So now that's definitely, that'll be the kind of main player I look up to. And also you get to watch them every week, so yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, Johnny, there. I mean, you and I remember Patrick PK, like, he only came into the team last year at Corian, and there he is now 12 months on, and, you know, rubbing shoulders and best buds with Declan Rice and Mark Noble. I mean, it's been a remarkable 12 months for the young fella, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it's like a fairy tale. Like, I remember, I think I've said this in the podcast before, I remember PK was on the flight over one of the European games, and it's not like he wasn't light or ever. He's just a young lad, so he's obviously sitting there in a plane by himself and playing on his phone and stuff like that. And then suddenly, like, fast forward, what, nearly 2 years later, and he's getting hugs off Declan Rice, telling him he was his man of the match. So, it's mad, but it just shows you if you work hard and stick at it and you do things the right way and stay humble and everyone else, things just work out for you. And, you know, very easy thing to do is somebody from Port Stewart, they go to London and get lost and everything, but he seems to have knocked me down, and that's no surprise really for me. So look, long may it continue.
I mean, before today, knew Patrick was coming on, and I was just looking to see what he was doing 12 months ago, and I think that the game was like a 3-2 win over Glentoran at home, and PK, you won the man of the match award that day and got standing ovation coming off as when you were being subbed. I mean, do you remember that particular game and do you remember those games for Corian and do you sort of pinch yourself as to where you are now?
Yeah, I think I do because it came up my phone. It was a year ago, like two or three days ago, and all the memories came up. It was me in the change room with the champagne and stuff after the game. I look back all the time at the Corian games. I watch all the highlights sometimes on YouTube when I'm bored from the games and stuff, like my favourite games that I played in. But yeah, that was definitely, I'd say that was probably my favourite game, that one towards the end of the season against the Glens, because I think the fans took really well to me that day as well. So that was a special day.
And it's amazing, Johnny, isn't it? We keep saying it, but you know, 12 months ago, playing Glentoran and blah, 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 and then Emirates 34,000. It's as you just said earlier, it's testament to the hard work, obviously talent as well, but that hard work and that ethos of trying to learn always, and it pays off.
100%, and I'm sure you know Wise PK is getting advice off Mark Noble and Declan Rice now. I'm sure he was like a sponge around Stevie Lowry, for example, and it's just different stages of his career. So yeah, look, I remember that game too, and I remember saying the Oran after the match, can I interview PK? And it was one of the things where Oran's like, aye, he needs to not man up, but you know, he's a big lad now, he needs to go and do these sort of things. So I remember that match clear as day. I think it was one of the only games we won the split as well. And I think PK set two or three of them up and we won 3-2. So no, yeah, that was a really good game. I thought PK was good in the cup final too, and just disappointing that he didn't leave with a winner's medal.
Well, did get one then, but he certainly has one now. Johnny mentioned there the Irish connection, Patrick, because I think within that team at West Ham, the youth team that you're playing on, there's about, what, 3-4 Northern Ireland lads in that team?
Yeah, there's 3 in the under-18s, and then Forbesy's in the 23s at the minute because he's a bit older. So there was 3 playing that. Me and Callum both started. Then obviously Josh, he's a bit younger. He's like a year younger than me and Callum. He came on and scored, which was good. Delighted for him, to be fair. So yeah, there's 3 of us playing the other night.
And a word about Callum as well, Callum Marshall, for those who are maybe not aware. What was it? I think it's 21 goals in 22 games this season.
Yeah, nah, he's a joke. He's unreal. Been like that, I've played with Callum since we were like 9, 10 at Northern Ireland. Then obviously me and him went on trial to Liverpool together. There's a good photo of us whenever we went on trial to Liverpool together. We were about 11. So we both went there. Unfortunately, nothing came from it because I'm a big Liverpool fan myself. But we're all been away. Then obviously I went on a lot of trips with him growing up. And then since I came here, he's just kind of, well, I was going to say he's looked after me, but I've more looked after him, to be fair, since I came here. But no, he's a great player. He scores goals like anywhere he plays, he'll score goals. He's good at it.
PK, there's rumours that Sean Murr might be going to West Ham from Cliftonville. Yeah. Obviously, I know you can't give too much away, but have you seen much of him? What do you think? You know,
I've actually only played against him once last year. It was at the start, whenever I wasn't really starting for the first team and I was more on the bench. We played Cliftonville reserves at home, and we won 4-1. We had like 5 first teamers down, and he was playing that night, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but you could tell he was decent. Like, he caused us a bit of trouble that game, and then obviously I still follow the Irish League like every week. Like, I watch the game and stuff, and the iPlayer, and I've seen him play well a few times. And also I seen there last week that he's rumoured to come here, and I've seen that I think West Ham are going to sign him, like, so obviously don't know too much yet, but from what I've seen so far, it looks like he's coming here, which would be obviously good having another one from back home over. So yeah, hopefully he comes as well.
And I suppose that does help, the fact that, you know, look, you know, a familiar accent in and around the place, and he's all come from the same relative area, Northern Ireland. It's bound to help too, isn't it, when you're away from home, you're in London, you're in digs.
Yeah.
It does help, I guess. I mean, I don't know about homesickness, if that's a thing anymore, because the world seems a lot smaller, but I guess it does help having familiar faces and accents, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it does. I think I would have been a bit lost if Callum hadn't been here when I first signed, because obviously, like I said, I've been like very friendly, like kind of best mates with Callum since we were young. So I think that played a part in choosing West Ham as well, because obviously there was a couple of different teams I could have went to, and I knew I'd be living with him over here. So I think that played not like a massive part, but I'd say it definitely played a little bit. So I think it helps a lot. And obviously, I'll be the same with Sean. I'll try and help him when he comes over, because it's not easy when you first come away, like leaving home, leaving your mates and family and stuff is tough. Obviously, it's still hard, but nah, it's, yeah. So hopefully just click off.
It's good to hear that, Johnny, isn't it? From somebody like PK, you know, Callum helped PK settle in, and if Sean Moore does go to West Ham, PK can help Sean, and it's just looking after each other and helping out each other, yeah, isn't it?
And look, again, that just shows you how grounded PK is. Whenever he came in, he had the, I don't know if it's the pleasure or misfortune of having Parky and James and Lyndon look after you in a car, but...
Lyndon would probably be okay, but the other two, I'm not sure.
Not too sure about the other two, but no, listen, I'm sure, you know, Orange says it all the time, and I get why he says it, you know, playing 6 or 7 games in the Irish League is worth nearly 50, that age is nearly worth 50 or 60 games at reserve level, and that season that playing in a man's environment probably, you know, gives him, you know, all the not experience, so to speak, but, you know, gives him that extra experience, probably is a better way of putting it, of playing, and maybe around a few guys that need it here and there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because I was reading an article today on the BBC sport website. I don't know whether any of you've seen it. It was like Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's setting up this thing for young guys, academy football dropping out, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, PK, did you read it, and what did you think? I mean, because what Johnny's saying is very true. The likes of yourself and Callum to an extent, and even Sean Moore, having that experience of men's football probably gives you a bit of an advantage, perhaps, in some of the academy players who don't have that experience.
No, I would say it gives you a massive advantage. Obviously, I didn't read the full article of that Alexander-Arnold thing, but I've seen the heading. I just seen... So obviously, that's the same with a lot of academy ones. Like, not everyone's going to get through. Obviously, there's only a small percentage that do. But I think, obviously, I was... Because most of the boys that leave Northern Ireland come over when they finish their GCSEs. And obviously, lockdown was kind of when I was in fourth and fifth year, so there wasn't really much football being played. And I was a bit gutted that I didn't get away. And I think, like, not even me. I think, like, a lot of my family thought that, like, not that that was the end of it for getting to England, but they thought it would have been a while before I got a chance to move away. And then, obviously... I got into the first team and stuff, and I think I wouldn't be where I am without Oren trusting me and putting me in. Then obviously Lyndon, James and Parky, them three especially, looking after me as soon as I went up. Just then the whole season was a bit mad. It helped me so much. I think it's helped so much coming over here. Like, obviously playing in front of crowds, and then like last night, a lot of boys in our team wouldn't have played in front of a crowd before, like a bigger crowd. And also, as I was saying, like the final last year had like 13,000 or whatever at it, which... As I said, it was a bit of a different occasion, like more being there, but I certainly knew what it was like playing for a big crowd and like trying to silence the home crowd and stuff like that. Nah, I think I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at without that year at Corian.
Yeah, I mean, the figures in that story were crazy. I think it was like out of an estimated 1.5 million playing organised youth football, I think it said around 180 or 0.012% make it Premier League football.
Yeah, no, it's crazy numbers.
Which it is crazy. But see, when you're talking, you said earlier about going to West Ham and the other clubs were interested in you as well. In hindsight, after being there now a year, do you feel that that was the right move for you, the right club for you at the right time?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think just the way I settled in quite quickly over here, and obviously said I was a bit homesick, but like the main bit of that went away kind of end of summer. But no, I'm really happy I came here. I think I made the right choice, and obviously just the season I've had so far has been unreal. Like, obviously I was out for 2 months with a calf injury, but I ended up actually not missing that many games. It just worked out well that we didn't have a game for like two of the weeks, and then I only missed one Youth Cup game, which was the quarter final. But as you said, I definitely think that it helped, yeah.
And it's been a successful season, I think, for the team. You've won 2 trophies, and there's the possibility of doing the treble. Am I right in thinking?
Yeah, so we won the league last Saturday. We were very good in the league, to be fair. We only lost, I think we lost like one game or something this season. And the game we lost, like none of our Youth Cup players played. Like, we were all playing with the older age group, and it was just a few of the younger ones were playing, and they lost against, I think it was Southampton. But so also we won the league. Won the South Premier League last week against Arsenal. And then we play Man City now at the Etihad in 2 weeks in the North South final. So I'm sure that'll be a unbelievable. but also the winners of that get into the UEFA Youth League next year. So that's a big one. Like, I think if we win that, we'll be in that UEFA Champions League Youth, like under 19. So chances of playing against like Barcelona, Real Madrid and stuff like that. So that'll be, we're going to be doing everything we can to win that. And that'll be the treble complete. So yeah.
Excellent. Well, also that UEFA Youth League that you're talking about, the chance that you could play Korean, because they were in it this year, Johnny, weren't they?
They were all final. It starts to go.
Maybe not in the same league as your Barcelona's and Man City's, to be fair, but you know. What are Man City like at youth level? Because we all know what they're like at senior level. They can go and get in whoever they want.
Yeah.
Is it similar in the youth setup that they can scour Europe and get the best young players?
Yeah, no, I think their team's a bit of a joke. Like, it's unreal. But obviously, I've played against them a few times when I was younger with Northern Ireland, like under 13 and 14. But I haven't played against their team recently. But I watched, obviously, we played Arsenal in that final, and Arsenal beat City in the semi-final. But City went down to 10, like 3 minutes in. And I watched it, and they still, like, it looked as if City had an extra man the whole game. Like, just the way they moved the ball, like, they play exactly like the first team. Like, the full-backs come in and play centre mid. Like, it's, they just play, you just sit, I think throughout the club, they just play the way the first team play. So, that should be a very good game. Obviously, they had and stuff as well. So, buzzing to play there.
Johnny, I think, you know, you and I, we must be due a wee trip to England. Maybe go to the Etihad and go and watch that game.
Yeah, we've been overdue a trip for ages, Damien. It's getting to the stage where it's just going to get up and get up and get up. It's going to be Vegas or somewhere like that. You know, it's aim high.
Or never go anywhere. But I mean, like, that's incredible, Johnny. Like, they've won two trophies. They've got a chance of getting a third. It's just Man City in the way. But when you hear that, and I'm not being disrespectful, but obviously West Ham senior level, it looks like they're going to survive. Had a quick look at the table there today. Looks like they're going to survive. But given the success of that young youth team, Johnny, I mean, surely next season you must be looking at some of those young players starting to make their way into the first team squad, aren't you?
Yeah, but again, we all know what English football is like in the morning. You know, I watched the West Ham highlights the other night against Liverpool. And your boy, hopefully I pronounced his name right, is it Paqueta?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. And, you know, they're spending that much money and, you know, it's nearly harder for boys to break through. But at the end of the day, you know, PK just mentioned the last team that won the FA Youth Cup with Michael Carrigan and Joe Cole and Frank Lampard and boys like that. And they all went on to have successful careers. So, you know, PK and the rest of the team, that West Ham team, you know, they won three trophies. They can't be any more than that.
Well, I mean, Declan Rice came through the same way, didn't they? I mean, we've talked about Declan Rice before. It was PK's role model, if you like. And I think he came through the academy. And look where he is now. He's valued a £100 million player. So it proves that it can be done.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, was Declan Rice released by Chelsea, no?
It's Chelsea, like 14.
So he obviously worked hard at it and got by that setback. And you know, and obviously now he's playing Premier League, and I'm sure Chelsea and every other team in England would love to have him.
Yeah.
I mean, like £100 million player is incredible. But do you ever get, you said about David Moyes doing your team talk at the semi-final, Patrick.
Yeah.
Do you guys train with the first team, or do you train separately, or what way? Is there a access to that first team level, do you think?
Yeah, no, there definitely is. I think West Ham's a good club to be at to try and come through, because obviously, as you were saying, Declan Rice is kind of the main one that's came through recently, but there's been a few others. But so the 18s train at Chadwell Heath, but like a lot of the older under 18s, like me and Colin stuff, train with the 23s at Rush Green, and obviously they train beside the first team. They train pitch next to them, and then obviously there's a lot of time where boys are needed to go up and stuff and train with them, and that's happened to all of us quite a few times. So there's definitely just to train with them, and then obviously I think they're going to Australia in pre-season, and Nobs was saying there's going to be a few of our age group going away with the first team to Australia and stuff. So that'll be, pre-season's probably a good, really good chance to try and like impress stuff, because also had a good few chances to impress him recently, because he was there last night and he was at the semi-final and stuff. So And then there's eyes that you kept, they all, like a lot of the first team staff watch all our games. So I think there's definitely a good chance to just up yourself if you work hard and do well and stuff. I think the pathway is definitely there to get in.
You see, Patrick, say when you're talking there and you're training beside the first team, etc., and you know they're close by and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it difficult? You know, the temptation would be there to try too hard, I guess. Yeah. Try to impress. I mean, is it difficult to try not to do that?
Yeah, no, I think that's the case with a lot of people. Like when you first go, I think a lot of people would maybe try too hard, but I think that's gonna happen naturally. But I think you just have to relax and just, like, it's just a training session. You just have to play the way you normally would play if you're training with under 18s or the 23s and stuff. But yeah, I think that would happen a few boys whenever they go over here, definitely. Like, that just comes naturally with nerves and stuff.
you just want to impress and you'd just be trying too hard, and then that kind of backfires, doesn't it? Because you're not playing your natural game and you're not doing yourself justice then.
Nah.
I don't know. Johnny, it's crazy, isn't it? David Moyes there and it's almost, you're so close to that first team now. The likes of PK there.
I know. It is mad when you think about it. And like, when you actually just think about it, it's crazy. And yeah, hopefully PK remembers us, hey, you know. But no, listen, I think the happiest man.
Yeah, he has to, we have it in his contract. He has to come on every year in the podcast.
I think the happiest man, apart from everybody, you know, I think the happiest man, apart from obviously his family and all his friends, would be Colin, because I'm sure there's a bonus somewhere in there if PK plays for the first team. But listen, I'm sure that time will come. As I said there, about 3 or 4 months ago, all that team, they seem to be doing the best they can. They've just blitzed Arsenal in a cup final. They've won, you know, they've won 2 trophies. They're going for a third. They could be playing in Europe next year. And PK has been told he's been man of the match by a guy like Declan Rice. So they're doing things at their own time, at their own pace, and doing it well. So you know.
Well, it bodes well for West Ham's future when you've got players coming through like that. I mean, surely the goodness that's going to potentially save West Ham an absolute fortune in the transfer market.
100%. If 3 or 4 then players on that team can come through into the first team, you know, you're saving a lot of money and naturally the West Ham fans get behind them because they'd be seen as one of their own that they've helped develop. So no, 100%, and you know, and fingers crossed that PK can be up even training with them sometime soon, or you know, even in their massive, you know, they always go in a pre-season thing and they always bring about 400 players, so just little things like that. And yeah, I know PK is obviously with the Northern Ireland international team as well, you know, the under 19 as well. So listen, all the experiences just add up, and I think Gerard Little left as well, PK, didn't he? So
yeah.
Shock for you, or
I heard a while ago that he might be, obviously we were gonna have a change of manager anyway because we're moving into the 21s.
Yeah.
So I think I didn't know he was going to leave the 19s and 17s, but I heard he might have been. Then obviously he's been rumoured with a few other jobs, but I'm not too sure who will get the 19s and 17s. But obviously I'll be able to try getting the 21s team. I think there's a camp in June, and then just hopefully try to do well on that, and then hopefully be in the first team soon.
I mean, that's the other thing. It was good that you brought that up, Johnny, because you, hand in hand with PK's success at West Ham goes the international scene as well. And obviously, you're talking about moving into the under-21s now, but I guess ultimately your ambition is the Northern Ireland senior team, and Michael O'Neill is back there in charge now. You're, and Callum, for example, and Grigsby as well, doing well at West Ham. Do you... maybe there's no contact from Michael O'Neill, but would that be on your radar, the 21s and then the Northern Ireland seniors setup? Is that the ultimate ambition too?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like club football is obviously the bigger one, but I'll say that, but if, like, it'll be a dream to get a call into the first team squad, even with 21s, trying to do well there. So I think that, like, there's a lot of staff over, like, you know, Garth McCall and stuff come to a lot of our games, and I think a lot of staff watch our West Ham games, and they have like ones up north as well watching the other ones. So there's definitely chances there to impress, and I think that was definitely one of my aims, to try and get in the Northern Ireland team. Yeah.
Yeah, you could be the next Stephen Loomis.
Yeah.
West Ham player, Northern Ireland international. He didn't do too badly in his career.
All right.
No, he did. But I mean, that's the other side of it, Johnny. It's like, do well at club level at West Ham or PK, because you follow Northern Ireland, and it's fair to say that, you know, the squad of players or the amount of players is never that big. So when you have young players like a PK there that's playing at a good level, surely it has to come into consideration, doesn't it, for the senior squad?
Yeah, of course it does. And, you know, Northern Ireland have a small pool of players, and that's well documented. And I think it was the last senior team, I think out of the 11, was it 7 or 8 players were actually born in England, which really shocked me, you know. So, but yeah, look, you look at PK, obviously, I'm sure he's friendly with Sam McClelland, and he earned his first international cap too. So, you know, that can nearly be like a sign, or not a role model, so to speak, but, you know, an example of working hard and getting there. So, no, yeah, look, the pull, you know, Stephen Davis isn't getting any younger, Corey Evans isn't getting any younger, all the centre midfielders that they have. So,
for Sturdy Dallas is not too good either.
Your beloved Sturdy Dallas isn't the best either. So,
could be doing with him.
Small pool of players, and the more players that we can get coming through, and, you know, the three of them, they're there at West Ham too, and they'll all be pushing each other to try and get into the 21s, and then obviously into the first team.
Absolutely. Just thinking about the final, PK, who was over? Was any of your family, your mum and dad over, anybody over cheering you on?
Yeah, that's about half of Northern Ireland was over. obviously, my agent and stuff flew over with my mum and dad, brother, two sisters, and my girlfriend. They were all on the same flight. And then obviously my uncle and cousin were over as well. And then they flew over with Callum's family and stuff. So I think overall there were about 25 of them over watching the game. But no, it was unreal being with all them after the game, getting photos with all them stuff after. It was good to do for.
Brilliant. Talk of a free bar in the bar, no?
No, I think they showed the game the other night, but obviously, as Johnny said, the stream wasn't great, but two of my mates, I forgot mentioning them, two of my best friends came over and watched the game as well. There's normally five of them will come over, but three of them were in school, then the other two were at Tech, so they were able to get the day off to come over and watch it. So, yeah, no, it was just brilliant support over there. So, felt even better just that with all them being there, and I was thankful.
And how do they I mean, they obviously enjoy it too because of your friends,
yeah.
They share in it as well, but I mean, I'm sure it's weird for them too because they know you their mate, and there you are doing these things in the football pitch.
We always joke about it because like that day at a final, like a memory came up a year ago and I was playing in score 5-a-side with them like a little four game, and we were just like, I was playing like the bottom division score league, just running about like kind of taking the piss a bit. And then obviously a year on, I was playing the AFC Cup final at the Emirates, so it's a bit, we always just talk about the stories of growing up and stuff. So nah, they all support me fully, which is good.
Very, very good. And you still have all your mates from school as well, which is important.
Yeah.
I mean, and you said earlier as well, you sort of keep an eye on the Koreans and the Irish League's fortunes. I mean, what have you made of the Irish League this year? I mean, obviously Lauren, crown champions, got the trophy last week. Deserving champions, I think everybody would agree.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously I've watched Lauren quite a few times this season, and I could tell from playing against them in pre-season whenever I first went up last year that they were proper good, and I knew it was probably going to be sooner rather than later that they won the league. Then obviously I think it was Kenny Bruce took over and made quite a few big signings, and they spent a lot of money. So I think that was kind of expected, that they were going to win the league soon, but they definitely deserved it this year. Like, they were very good anytime I watched them. But also I watched Balmaine beat them in the Irish Cup semi-final a couple weeks ago, which I'm sure they'll be gutted out of that. But Lauren have been very good this season.
When you talk about Lauren, I always just flashback you and Fuad Sully.
Yeah.
Like you'd only just started. Yeah. And Sully, he's just there. Like, he's like a fucking, everybody knows him. He's just like built like a brick shithouse, shall we say. And there you are at 16. Giving them as good as you get, it was brilliant.
Yeah, no, I remember that'll be one of the games I'd watch a lot whenever I've got nothing to do. Like, there's a 10-minute YouTube clip up at the game, and that was my first start, obviously. So that was, I still think about that night all the time. Obviously, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at, now without playing that first game. And obviously, Warren trusted me, because it was a weird story. Because like that day in school, like, I didn't think I was playing. Like, I just assumed I was on the bench and stuff. Then Oren told my dad, I think the night before, but my dad didn't tell me. I think Oren told him not to tell me. So my dad knew, but I didn't know. And like, it probably wasn't the best idea. But then me and my friends went for a McDonald's at lunch that day. Like, because I just assumed I wasn't playing. Then Obviously, I got to the ground and Oren pulled me out of the changing room. I thought he was going to tell me I wasn't in the squad. I think we had quite a big squad that night. And then he told me I was starting up front with Chevy, like just off him. And my heart sank. I just shit myself, to be honest. I remember sitting in the changing room shaking. I was like, oh my God. Because obviously, I had my tickets. Like, it was nearly sold out that night. I think there was like 5,000. So, no, that night was, and that was a special night.
But that was a special night, Johnny. I'm sure you recall it as well as I do, because, and I guess, you know, that was PK's first start. And I suppose the way he just got into that game, got stuck in that game at night, I guess it should come as no surprise to anybody that he's going to go on and have a good career.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I remember there was, they done something that night for the ground plans. And I remember they had a lot of people there, like a lot of like minister or like, you know, like elected representatives and different people there. And I remember getting the team sheet and looking down, 24 Patrick, and I was like, cheers. Just because it was his first start in such a big game. And yeah, I think we won 3-1. The crowd was amazing that night. And see, they're packed, really packed showgrounds on a Friday night under lights. I think it's class. I think we should probably do it more often. But no, it was a really, really good game against a really good side as well. And I think Ben Doherty probably scored as well that night, if I remember rightly. Yeah. There was a good atmosphere at it. There always is between the two teams. There was plenty of goals. And
Was that? I think that was the night PK flicked the ball over Sully's head and all.
Aye, Sully's head. Aye, first half. And I think it was the first half. Maybe say I can't even mind. So
second half.
There you go. So those wee things you always remember. And you know, Sully's probably the best in the league at what he does and breaking up play and keeping it very simple. And for PK 16 at the time to put the ball over his head run by him. Kind of taking a hand out of him, but nah, listen. Those are wee things you obviously just remember and stick with you.
Yeah, I mean, but you weren't obviously intimidated, PK, were you?
Nah, I think like not intimidated, but obviously I was very nervous for the game. Then once I got the first couple of touches, I was fine. Obviously Lyndon and stuff and Stevie Larry and Stevie Donald were also speaking to me, just calming me down and stuff in the warm-up and just telling me to just play my normal game, because I'd been flying like the weeks before in training. And I was not that I was expecting myself to start, because obviously I was still only 16 at the time. But like from what I was doing, I knew I wasn't far off. Just off training stuff, and Oren was always telling me that my chance was going to come. But just obviously, because I think it was first against second that night game on TV or whatever. So I thought that definitely wouldn't have been. I thought it would have been against the Carrick at home or something that like I would have played. But I was definitely not expecting it to be that night. But no, it was unreal.
And I presume your pre-match meals have changed somewhat since your McDonald's days.
I'll have changed, seriously, yeah.
Well, what kind of stuff do they feed you then? I mean, what way does that work before me or before games? Well, all chefs in doing the work and all, yeah?
Yeah, well, like during the week at the house, we have a nutritionist at the club. So he gives a meal to the parents and then they cook that during the week. So it's healthy dinners every night. And then obviously we have chefs at the training ground for breakfast and lunch. So we're definitely eating the right things, like, but no, that's probably been a big change, like, just the way your lifestyle is over here, just being a lot more, like, professional and eating more of the right things. And because obviously it was very different being in school last year and being part-time, but I think being full-time, that's, like, a big difference, like, just the way you live off the pitch, what you eat and what you drink and stuff like that. So it's definitely changed a lot.
What about strength and conditioning, gym work? I mean, do you do much of that, or is there an emphasis on building you up and strengthening you, or is that not so much?
No, I think that's been the other big change as well. Obviously, I was going to, like, obviously at Corey and we didn't do gym because we were just training 2 nights a week, but I was going to Chris Gregg on, like, a Wednesday. But I think whenever, like, I first got up in the first team, I was something, like, just over 9 stone when Oren was weighing everyone. And, like, I was so skinny and small, but Oren obviously said the aim was to get up there around 11. And then, like, the first couple months at West Ham, I was in the gym, like we would do gym like 2 or 3 times a week as team gym, but then obviously whenever I was injured there, I was doing it nearly every day. And I think I'm up to like a good bit over 11 stone now, so I put on a lot of weight and size and muscle. So we get like skin fold tests done like every 2 weeks to see if you need to put on weight, lose fat, stuff like that. So I think that's been another massive change, just amount of gym work. I think I've gotten a lot bigger since I've came here. I think, yeah,
that's brilliant. I mean, it's great, isn't it, Johnny? I mean, that's the life you want to live if you're a sports person, if you're a footballer, is to be in that environment where you get your new proper nutrition, food, gym work plans. It's just a dream job.
Yeah, listen, yeah, obviously the talent on the pitch helps, but you know, we all know the difference that all the little percentages off the pitch can make. And if PK can get his food made for him and all the right nutrition and get his gym work and all sorted and have different plans, and wee things are getting his clothes washed and beds made and little things like that. It'll all make a big difference in the long run. So
you get that done for you as well, but
no, yeah. I've actually learned how to make the bed. So there you go. I actually have. So that's the first. That was the first thing I learned when I got married: how to make the bed and do the dishwasher and the garden and stuff like that. So I'm learning, Damon. I promise.
I like it. But I mean, so we talked about Larne. Obviously, won the league. What about just looking at the domestic league for a period here? Johnny, Larne have won the league, but still. Question mark over second place, depending on what happens this weekend. Linfield, Glentoran, it's one of them. I suppose Linfield probably only need to draw. I think, is that the right? They're 3 points ahead of the Glens.
Yeah, I think it's 3 points. And I can't see any other than a Linfield one going to Cliftonville, because I think Cliftonville, a bit like Corey and probably Glenavon and who's the other one? Well, the other team anyway, they'll be probably resting Crusaders as well. They'll be resting people for the playoffs and cup finals and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it'll be very tough for Cliftonville to beat Linfield. I think if they make a lot of changes, and I think the Glens go to the Crews as well. So you'd probably expect Glentoran to win that one and give themselves an outside chance and hope Cliftonville could do them a favour. But I'd be pretty shocked.
And where does that excuse me leaves Corian? Because Corian obviously. Last game of the regular season at home this Saturday to the champions, Larne. Corian haven't won a game, I think, since the League Cup final defeat against Linfield. I guess now would be a good time to get a win on the board before the playoffs.
Yeah, but again, I'm expecting a lot of changes. I think Oran sort of alluded to that after the Glentoran game on Saturday. So, yeah, look, it's been a weird one. Obviously, we've wanted to win with a bit of form and momentum. We just haven't found it. And yeah, there's been different suspensions and injuries, I suppose, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to turn on a bit of form. Let's be honest, it's called speed of speed. But we all know what we can do in a one-off game, and hopefully we can pull off a result.
PK, looking in from the outside, Corian's form hasn't been good since the League Cup defeat, but Oran has been on record basically saying not to judge him on these games, judge him on what happens in the European playoffs. And as Johnny alluded to, it's a question of juggling your resources. Some players are close to suspension. Some are carrying knocks. He has to just try and muddle through, I suppose, as best he can. And really and truly, it's the playoff games going to define your season, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a carbon copy of last season. Obviously, got beaten in the cup final, then we didn't go on a great run. And then it was kind of, we got on the split and it was just pretty much playing for nothing, because obviously you've already got European playoffs, and then obviously Oran's making changes, getting ready for the playoffs. I think probably frustrates the fans a bit, but I think sometimes they just need to understand that the split games aren't that important really, unless you're pushing for second of the league. And obviously it gives chance for other players to come in and do well. And obviously I think that was, it helped me, because Oran trusted and played me in all six of them games, and obviously the playoff game. And I've seen Sennan play a couple of games there and partly done well. So just gives a chance for younger players and anyone that's not really playing to try and do well and get minutes and stuff and just prepare for the playoffs.
And, excuse me, as players, I guess players understand that, don't they?
Yeah.
Nobody likes losing games and everything else, but as players, you obviously see the bigger picture and not put up with getting defeated, but if it's for the greater good, then you'll do it.
Yeah. No, obviously you don't go out to lose the game.
No.
Like you're obviously still fully trying, but it's just a few of a weekend team where, like, it doesn't feel like a massive game at the time, because obviously, you know, you've bigger games coming up and you don't want your better players getting injured and stuff like that and missing the European semi-final. And so I think it's just literally, as I said, it's a carbon copy of last season. I think pretty much nearly an identical season.
And as players, as a group of players, can you, like, say on the back of three or four defeats in the last six in this post-split games, as a group, is the ability there to raise the game for those one-off games like cup finals?
Yeah, no,
is that possible to happen? Can that happen? Yeah,
no, I think it definitely can. Like, you just need to look at Ballymena. Obviously, they're not having a great league season at all, and obviously they turned up and beat Larne in a one-off semi-final. I'm just hoping Corian can do the same, because, as I said, that was a situation we ran last season that was just all geared towards the playoff, and like we was playing the likes of me, Toshi and Kurt and all the split games and just trusting us and just giving us game time and experience and stuff. So I think that's the difference. Like with the part-time teams, like it is more like Corian, like it's hard for them to put up with the likes of Lauren, Linfield, Glenn Touring, obviously they're all full-time, Cruz and stuff, and Glenn's. But I think Corian can definitely turn up in a one-off game and beat any of them on their day. Obviously, they're probably going to get a tough draw, probably away, like we were away to Lauren last season. But I think from what I've watched this season, obviously they can't play Lauren because they've won the league. And I think the other three or four teams, I don't think there's anything to be that scared of a lot. Like, I think definitely in a one-off game, Corian could beat any of them. Just if they get it right on the night and no one gets his tactics right, which he normally does, the players just come through and win the game. So I'm hoping, I'm looking forward to them games and I'm hoping we can get through.
Yeah, I mean, good to hear that from PK, isn't it, Johnny? A bit of positivity, and because it's been tough for supporters in recent weeks, hasn't it? There's just been a general air of a bit of despondency or apathy or whatever you want to describe it as. But it's good to hear PK maybe pointing out that players can raise their games. And the only problem, I guess, the only downside is last Saturday, Adam Mullen suffered a serious injury, and yeah, we had Rodney Brown on the podcast last week, and he's got a serious injury. So two players at centre half. I mean, you're thin on the ground there, aren't you?
Yeah, you're hoping that Stevie O and Big Kieran and I suppose Conor McDermott would now be the other choice at centre half. You can hope they can all stay injury free for the last two or three games of the season. And yeah, it's been a weird sort of season too. It does sort of have a feel of last year, and that's probably tough as well for Oran and the players when they realistically know they don't have that much to play for. I think, you know, after drawing with Cliftonville, you couldn't really reel them in, and then we obviously lost the Crusaders, then that was the end of it. So yeah, it's been tough, to be fair. And again, and I said it at the time, I think if they'd have beat Glen Avon's the weekend after the cup final, I think maybe in a different mindset, because I think they'd only been two or three points off third, and then sure look, yeah, you know, third would have got you home advantage in Europe. So yeah, I think Crusaders win the Irish Cup will be probably away to Cliftonville in the semi final, and then either away to Cliftonville or home to Glen Avon, or sorry, Glen Thorne or Glen Avon, and then if Balmain win the Irish Cup, we've got home to Glen Avon, and then I think it's away to Glen Thorne or something. So yeah, it's just plenty they still think about.
Well, I think as PK said, in one off games and that, and if you get your full squad of players, your team, and they're fit, and you've nothing to fear from any of them, have you? We've shown it in the past that we're capable of mixing it with any of the teams on any given day.
100%, and we know that. And as you said as well, there on a one off game, we can more or less beat anybody. So probably a bit easier if we were in a bit better form, and everyone else, and Glen Avon and Glen Thorne are especially in really good form. So the Cliftonville game, if we play them, that score then could end anyway. Well,
it'll end 2-2.
They probably dropped a wee bit as well. So it's one of them things that there are a lottery at the end of the day, aren't they? And it's all about the best team on the day.
Very good. Just when we're talking about the league exactly as well, I mean, it just emerged today. The club licenses were announced today. And Johnny, the big story, the big news was Warren Point getting refused. I mean, can you explain to the listeners just what that was all about? Or, I mean, they've obviously been refused a license, so that has implications in terms of playoffs and the championship as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, first of all, a big kudos and things to everyone who was involved in the Korean end of things. I think there's a lot of work was in there, so I think Laura Lagan and a few others play a big part in that, so very well done to them and all the hard work and everyone else. I think with the Warren Point situation, by all accounts, is, and obviously it's all a pending appeal, and to be honest, I don't know that much about it, but I think they haven't been given a Premiership license or a Championship license, so by all accounts, that means they'd have to drop down to Intermediate. And then if they drop down to Intermediate, well then Stuart, who have a relegation playoff for the Intermediate, will that mean they're not involved in it anymore? Does Anna United then take Warren Point spot and play Dungannon? And then how long will Dungannon and Anna United have to wait before they would play a potential playoff? You know, so it's literally so many different domino effects on every single one of the leagues. And yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if there's any precedent set if this happens before. You know, I'm sure Neil Cohen and all the team at Niffl and the IFA and all their team as well are probably scratching their heads and thinking, checkers why, but it's one of them things. And yeah, like, it's, you know, I just seen Dungannon there had to cancel their bus. They go to Warren Point on Tuesday night with their fans for the game. So, yeah, that'll rumble on and rumble on. But then, how long do you let it run for? And, you know, for example, Stuart might need a playoff, but they might not need a playoff. You know, it's just so many different permutations. And as I say this all the time, regardless of the suspensions or players being ineligible or licenses, I just don't think it's a good look for the league in general. I don't, you know, if there's a player who should have been suspended and plays and team gets docked points and fined, I just don't think it's a good look for the league. So that's my initial reaction. And listen, look, it all comes down to an appeal as well. So Warren Point, you know, could get the appeal overturned and play Dungannon in the playoffs. So you just don't know.
I'm sure, Patrick, you don't miss all this drama where you are, do you?
It's only in the Irish League stuff like that happens.
It is, isn't it? You're well away from it. Just going to, we'll wrap it up shortly, but I'm just thinking, when have you got home much, Patrick, or when do you finish and do you get time to come home then in the summer? What way does that all work for you?
To be fair, last time I've been good with me for letting me home this season. Obviously, anytime we have a free weekend or something, we normally get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, which has happened like 3 or 4 times. So I've been home, and then obviously Christmas I was home for a week. But then the season, because we won the league, like we play Fulham. Well, I'm with the 23s tomorrow night against Leicester, and then the 18s have got Fulham Saturday, and then that's their last game. 23s have got Spurs next Saturday, then that's their last game. But also the first team round at the end of May, and then the under 18/19s. Well, obviously we've had a game against City on the 10th, and then on the 15th we're going to Mumbai for 2 weeks in India. We're playing a tournament out there, so I'm not too sure what took us out there, but that'll be a bit of an experience. I was looking up the weather, it's 35 degrees out there, so I'll probably be burnt, but should be good.
pack the whole factor 50 with you anyway. Do you like Indian food, do you?
Well, we eat curry here all the time, and yeah. I'm sure that out there, and I like it. So I sit in the hotel and stuff we're staying in, and it looks nice, but that'll just be a good experience seeing what the world's like out there, because obviously I've been a lot of places with football, like around Europe, but I've never been anywhere like India, so that should be a good trip. But yeah, so I think we're done. We're back from India like 28th of May, and then I think I get 4 or 5 weeks off then in June, so I'll be back in Core Import shirt in June. Yeah.
What will you be doing in the summer? Practicing, honing your golf skills, will you?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to go on a holiday for like a week or so in like the middle of June, and just pretty much just being with my friends and family, play a bit of golf, just have a bit of downtime. But then obviously don't want to have too much downtime. I'll probably only take like a week of doing nothing, and I've already got sessions planned up with Chris Gregg, like pitch and gym sessions in June. So I need to still do a bit, because obviously I need to come back in pre-season and hit the ground running. So yeah.
Would you do pre-season with Corey and PK, or would you not be allowed? I know Stephen Dole used to do it.
Not too sure. So I trained with him. When was I? There was a time I was home. I trained with him once whenever I was home a couple months ago. So I'm sure I don't know if they'll be in towards the end of June before I go. Hopefully I can do a session or two with him. I know Brad came in and done a session with us last season whenever I was up in pre-season. So yeah, hopefully I can do a session or two with them if they're in, but also, I just have to do my own stuff if they're not in. But yeah, I'd be open to doing that. Yeah,
very good. And do you still keep in touch with the boys at the club and Oren and that? Do you suppose you're regular contact with most of them? Are you?
Yeah, literally. Like every week, I'd be texting someone. Whether it's Oren, we chat to me quite a bit. I speak to Lyndon nearly most days. Adam Mall and stuff like that. All the players were texting me, congratulating me after the final, wishing me good luck before it and stuff in the semi final. So nah, I'd still be quite close with most of them. Yeah.
Do you have to bring back bags of West Ham goodies when you come home, do you?
Well, I gave Rodney Brown a pair of Adidas boots a couple of weeks ago. It was just before the final, the League Cup final. So, I brought no tops or nothing back yet, but I'm sure I will do in summer.
Very good, very good. Johnny, quite the 12 months for PK, wasn't it? You know, just what he's done, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that all being well, what's to come in the future? You know, off to Mumbai, a bit of travelling, maybe first team squad in Australia, potentially first team squad next year. Who knows?
Yep, that's it. And as I said, I've said on the podcast when PK isn't on, and I've said it again, that the biggest credit I give him, he's still down to earth and still gives a lot of his time to everybody. And, you know, it's very easy for a guy like that to go over to London and not forget where he came from, but you know,
I'd forget all about you, Johnny.
Well, maybe just me, but no, he's very grounded and you know, comes from a good family and stuff like that. So, nah, listen, I really, really do hope that he goes on and gets everything that he gets out of the game that he wants and deserves. And yeah, and just tell Mark Noble or all the money boys that, you know, just tell David Gold or something that West Ham needs to buy Corian and do a Kenny Bruce. And,
Awesome.
Best one I've heard yet.
Good. Yeah. We're getting there.
Well, I take it PK quite confidence around West Ham that they're going to stay in the Premiership this year, the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's very tight at the bottom. I keep looking at it, but you don't realize how tight it is. Like from 20th to 13th, it can change in one game. Like there's no point. So it's a bit tense around training ground stuff at the minute, but obviously they're in the conference semi final as well. So I think if they end up winning that and staying up, it'll be looked at as a very good season.
Yeah.
And done a very good job. But obviously, they could still, fingers crossed, that's what they've done, but they could still get relegated. But obviously, yeah. I think we'll just have enough to stay up. I think the teams below us at the minute will go down. But hopefully, that stays the same. There's still a few big games they've played, but I'm hoping we stay up.
Yeah, I was looking at the league table earlier, and I think you've just about got enough there to keep you above the drop zone, really. So,
yeah.
But as you say, it changes very, very quickly, doesn't it? But being equal, I think you should be good. Yeah. Well, here, PK, we won't take up more of your time because I'm sure you've got plenty of things to be doing. But, you know, on behalf of everybody at Corian Football Club and behalf of everybody around Port Stewart and Corian and the Triangle area, just massive congratulations for your part that you play in West Ham. And it's been, like Johnny will tell you as well, it's just been the talk of the town for the last couple of days and just people just talking about it and congratulating you and all. So it's always, always good, no matter who it is, it's always good to see people from this area doing well and you're just the latest. So congratulations from everybody at the club and everybody around the North Coast.
Thank you. Appreciate all the support.
No, you're more than welcome. And as Johnny said earlier, don't forget us now because this time next year, you'll be probably a Premier League regular or something, will you?
Yeah, no, I think the last 12 months shown that, and even the 12 months before that, when I first got on the first team, that your life can change so quickly. So hopefully, you never know, this time next year, I could be doing anything, whether it be a loan out in January to a League One or League Two team or breaking into the first team pre-season, stuff like that. So I think it's just down to how hard I work and stuff like that. But yeah, I'll see him.
Yeah. Johnny, book him in for the podcast now before he gets too big.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to tie him down here. Speak to his agent. Get the mandatory
contract.
You know the way, like boxers have a mandatory title defense. PK's going to have a mandatory podcast appearance. Tell Declan Rice I was asking for him.
Say hello to Nobes for me.
Yeah, I'll do.
Me and Nobes are like that, by the way. But here, PK, all joking aside, well done. Congratulations. Keep up the good work, and we'll maybe see you around home over the summer.
Will do. Cheers, Damien. Thank you, Johnny.
No problem. Oh. Glad to do you as well. Johnny, thank you. And to everybody else, we'll see you for the final regulation game on Saturday at home to Larne. And then after that, we'll up the ante. Hopefully, we'll get the players back and we'll have a right good rattle because Johnny looks like he could do with an RB European trip very soon.
Yeah, the sun tan's wearing off and I need a break from my wife for a few days. So we'll all be good.
So anyway, what do you say, PK?
Johnny needs to get a few sunbeds.
He does need to get a few sunbeds. Absolutely. I think we all do up around here. There's not too much sunshine. Thank PK, as you well know. Right, well, guys, thank you very much for your time. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you, as ever, to Radio Taxis for kindly sponsoring the podcast. As I say, we play Larne on Saturday, and after that, who knows what's going to happen. So until next week, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.